Christmas is just around the corner. Are you looking for exciting gifts for your kids? KiwiCo brings you fun and educational STEAM projects every month. Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And they have really fun kits for all ages that will teach your kids in the sneakiest way while they're having fun. Visit schoolhouserocked.com/kiwi today to find out how you can save 30%. Not only will you get great projects for your family, but your purchase helps support the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Visit schoolhouserocked.com/kiwi today. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton, host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast, and I am so glad that you are back with me again today. I have a really special guest joining me that I've been trying to get on the podcast and trying to meet for quite some time, and I have not actually met her in person, but we've talked on the phone. Her name is Kim Sorgis, and she is the founder of the Not Consumed Ministry website, curriculum. Oh my goodness, you have so many different things going on, Kim. So welcome to the show. I am so glad to have you on with me today.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here and meet you virtually.
Yes, virtually. Isn't that fun that we can do that today? So I have seen you in person because when we were at the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Convention in Nashville, you had this big, huge booth there. And I probably went to your booth, I don't know, 5 or 6 times at least, because I wanted to meet you. And every single time I went, literally until the very end of the convention, it like people were folding up their tables. And I was like, I really want to meet Kim. And every time I went, you had this huge line of people and people just surrounding you and talking to you and asking you questions. And so I just told my husband, forget it, or I'm not going to get to meet her this time. So anyway, I have enjoyed getting to know you over the phone when we've talked on the phone. And now I'm excited to have you on the podcast just to share your story with our listeners and some of the amazing resources that you have. So if you could introduce yourself briefly to our audience, let them know who you are and what you do. I would love that.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I'm Kim Sorgis, and I am first and foremost mom to 4 amazing kiddos. They range in age from about 15 to 9. He turned 9. And I get to homeschool them, which is an incredible blessing. And we'll get to talk about that probably as we get into this. And we have this amazing ministry called Not Consumed, and where our goal is to help families grow in faith so they can live not consumed by life. So that's us in a nutshell. We live in Greenville, South Carolina, which we love. And we have a dog.
You have a dog.
Because dog.
Well, I do not live in Greenville yet, but we actually... we think that's where we'd like to settle. For those who know anything about our story, we left California about 3 years ago, and we've been traveling and just exploring the country and somewhat parked in the Savannah, Georgia area where we have family. But we've been to Greenville several times, and we love that area. We really do. And we really feel like the Lord is pulling us in that direction. So we hopefully will be neighbors with you sooner rather than later, because that's it's a yeah. Great area. We really like Greenville.
Yeah, definitely a good area.
Yeah. So I actually found your website years ago. I mean, how long have you had your ministry going?
2012 was when I first started writing.
Okay, so you've been at this for a while, and I remember stumbling upon your website many years ago, and you have some really amazing resources. And I want to talk first a little bit about how you kind of got into this ministry, because your story is pretty incredible about how you started Not Consumed, why you titled it Not Consumed, and then the ministry that you have. And I know from talking with you and reading through all of your stuff that you really have a heart to get kids into the Word and to teach them all things from a biblical perspective, which is really what Schoolhouse Rocked is all about, you know, just directing our kids towards Christ. So tell us a little bit of your story and how this whole thing came about.
Yeah. So of course it's a journey and didn't all happen overnight, but in 2009, I became a single mom, and I knew a lot of things that I wanted to keep the same. And one of them was I wanted my kids to be homeschooled. I had not started out thinking I was ever going to homeschool, which is true for a lot of people. But I had seen the incredible power of it as I actually started homeschooling with my nephew before I even had kids, which was a lot of fun. And I had seen it take him and bring him back up to level and be able to go back in. He lived an hour from me. So his mom would drive him an hour every day.
Wow.
To work with me. And I, at the time I was an elementary school teacher. I was teaching first grade. I had just quit after 10 years of being in the classroom and was getting ready to have a baby. And, you know, my nephew was going to be retained for the second time. And really his main goal was his main issue was that he was a boy, right? And he was active.
He was wiggly.
Yeah. And so he had failed kindergarten and repeated that. And then in first grade, they passed him even though he wasn't ready. And then in second grade, they wanted to retain him again. And my sister called me and I was just mad at that point. I'm like, no, because I knew the system was failing him and it wasn't fair that it was failing him. And so I'm like, bring him to me, I'll homeschool him, which I joke and say were my famous last words. Again, I was not really a homeschool believer. I didn't think that was the answer. It was just the answer in this one situation that I was in, you know? And so we started with him and I did like it. I really liked doing it. And it didn't take long before I started learning about resources. And I was like, wow, there's a lot out here that can help people and, you know, give moms the tools they need to do this. And then little by little, I began to kind of say, okay, maybe I'll consider this. And then when my own kids were old enough to homeschool, I started right away and we loved it. And they were little still at that point. And then in 2009, my husband left. And when that happened, you know, everything was turned upside down. And then I had to ask myself the big hard question of, is homeschooling really the thing that I need to do? Because of course, everyone else was saying, put the kids in school, of course, and you'll go back to work.
Right.
But I thought, you know, I really felt like this is what God wanted me to do. Does that change now because my circumstances change? And so after much soul searching, a whole lot of praying, I realized, no, actually this doesn't change because what I really didn't want to give up was the time with them. I knew that if I put them in school, I would see them like ships passing in the night, you know, and that was all I was going to get from them because I would have to work. And then, you know, my degree is a teacher. And if you've ever been a teacher or known a teacher, the job is like never ending. And, you know, you teach all day long, you come home, you've got papers to grade and you've got meetings that have to happen. And my kids would have homework. And I just thought, we can't be together. We won't have a together as much as I really want. And so I just began praying that God would provide a way for me to stay home and keep homeschooling, which seemed like a crazy dream. And I know you probably have people listening right now that think that exact thing. That's crazy. How could you even do that? That's not even possible. But we did. We persevered. We did, you know, the first couple of years, there was a lot of legal stuff that we couldn't solve. And we did live on some government assistance there for a period of time because that's what it's there for. Right. When you get in a situation that you can't control, that you can't do anything about, you use it. And that was very helpful to me because I had a newborn and I really couldn't work anyway. And there was just so much that needed to happen in order for me to go back to work because my certificate had lapsed and all this stuff. And it gave me an ample opportunity to really consider, okay, what can I do to possibly provide for my family? And someone told me that you could make a little money blogging and I didn't need a lot of money. I just needed enough, you know? And so I started a little blog through a lot of prayer. I just, you know, the trouble that I had was, well, how am I going to make money with this? And I'm not really a writer and I'm not really at all good with technology and I could check my email kind of, and I can reboot the computer. Like that was really my skill set. And so I thought blogging is way over my head. This is probably, you know, something that's for someone else. And I really felt like God said, no, this is for you. And I want you to do this. And people just little, you know, how sometimes people who don't even know they're speaking life, just say little things here and there. Mm-hmm. And there were people here and there that were like, I really like your blog. I had a little blog, by the way, on Blogspot with pictures of my kids. And that I mostly was doing for my my relatives, because we were living pretty far from them and they liked to keep up with the kids. And so I'd put all kinds of pictures, and then I would give commentary because it seemed weird to just put pictures. And then my friends would read it because I would share it on Facebook so that my family could see it. And then friends would say it. And then here and there, my friends would comment, you're a good writer. I thought, I am? Okay.
Who knew?
I just used those little people, not little people, but those little phrases from people who probably never thought, you know, that they were, you know, sharing that with me for any other reason besides just encouragement to say, hey, this is what I want you to do. And just kind of kept paving that road for me to go down it. And then I just pray that he would. So then once I got to the point where I was like, okay, a blog is what we're going to do, I just prayed that God would show me what to call it. And I really wanted, above all, to encourage people. I had what I thought was a white picket fence dream, and it was shattered. And it put me in a place where I had to think, how do you figure out what's important in life, and how do you get through hard things in life, and what are the answers to those things? And of course, I knew the answer was God, but I didn't know how to practically make that happen. Mm-hmm. And as I was dealing with trying to figure out, well, why don't I practically know how this is supposed to work? I realized it's because growing up, I didn't learn that. And although I was, you know, in a church 3 times a week, I didn't get the discipleship that I needed. I didn't get the tools. I didn't know how, I had no idea how to read God's word or get anything out of it. Like, I just didn't know those things. And I quickly realized, okay, this is what I need to know. And this is what my kids need to know, because they have to weather the storm too. Whether the storm is a divorce or, you know, anything else, even down to things like, we're not going to this event today because it's raining, and you just rain on your parade. Ha ha. You know, like those are major life things for kids. Like, that's a big deal. And sure, you have to learn how to deal with those. And the only way to do that is to really know what God's word has to say. So that's what we started. And that was kind of the path that I pursued. And we just started creating resources with that in mind, because I wanted to help. Really, I wanted to help kids. Wanted to help moms help kids, because I didn't feel like there were enough resources for me to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it was really out of a lack of what I needed, mm-hmm, that I couldn't find. And I was like, well, somebody needs to provide this, because we need to help our kids and no one's doing that.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's the long story.
No, that's a great story. You are such a beautiful example of God's faithfulness. Your testimony is amazing, because to do something like what you've done, and to take a situation that could have, I mean, it drastically changed your family, obviously, but even in that transition, if you had put your kids in school, that would have been even more traumatic for them. But you trusted the Lord to provide what he needs. And we talk about this on the podcast all the time. If God's calling you to homeschool, he's going to provide all that you need in order to do it, and to do it well. And to do it well does not mean to do it perfectly, because none of us can do it perfectly, but to be able to do what he's called you to do to the best of your ability, and then to just trust him to fill in all the gaps. And so you trusted him, not just in your homeschooling, but you trusted him with his provision for your family, which is just an amazing faith journey that you have been on. And I know he's really blessed you through that, and not just blessed you, but blessed countless people through the ministry that he's called you to, which is amazing. So let's take a quick break, and then I want to come back and I want to talk about a bunch of the resources that you have.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence. They've found Classical Conversations gives their children the best possible opportunities to succeed in grade school, middle school, high school, and beyond. And we'd love nothing more than for you and your family to join us in our mission to know God and make him known. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
We are back talking with Kim Sorgis from Not Consumed, and just talking about your amazing faith journey and the amazing things that God has done in your family and through your family. And you really have a ministry that helps to support not just homeschool families, because I know that you have a lot of your resources, obviously, are specifically for homeschoolers, but you have a ton of resources that go outside of homeschooling. And they're just amazing resources for any Christian family, any Christian mom, and for kids as well. So it's not just resources for moms and dads, it's resources for kids. As a matter of fact, it was so funny. We were back in California and we had dinner with some friends, and she is not a homeschool mom, and she was wearing a t-shirt and it said Not Consumed. And I said, "You have a Not Consumed t-shirt on." And she was like, "Oh, I don't know. I found it. It was on sale through some website that she had seen." And she goes, "I just really liked this t-shirt." And so she got, and I just thought it was so funny. Like, here's a mom who's not even a homeschool mom. But it's true. We should not be consumed with the things of the world, but keep our focus and our gaze on Christ. And like I said in the beginning, you have just, I mean, it seems like countless tools. I mean, I flipped through your website and it's almost overwhelming, but in a good way, the resources that you offer on there. And so you have resources that really help kids learn how to get into the Word of God and study it. Let's talk a little bit about some of those resources that you have, because that's one of the things that I find for myself is really hard to teach my kids. You know, I can give them their Bible and say, go read your Bible. But how do we really teach our kids to dig into the Word of God? And like you had mentioned earlier, you grew up in a home where you were going to church three times a week. And I was the same. You know, I went to church my whole life. I went to a Christian school my whole life. And even coming into my adult years, I realized how very little I knew about the Bible. And so share with us some of the resources that you have that teach kids how really they can dig into God's Word and build that relationship with Him.
Sure. So there's one that I would start with if your goal is to get your kids to learn about being in God's Word. But I want to come back to that one, because the first one I wrote is actually the one that I think everybody should start with. And that's Because I Said So. And despite its name, we don't obey because I said so. We obey because God said so. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it because my kids don't obey. Shocking, right?
No, mine obey all the time. Always the first time.
And I thought, you know, I had a little experience where they were in the grocery store and they were like angels. And you've never had this? They were angels in the grocery store. And the cashier even complimented how amazing these kids were. And I was like, I'll pat myself on the back and everything. And then we get out to the car and we weren't even in the car with the door shut before they started, you know, at each other. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what happened to my angels that I just had? And I realized they're performing. You know, mm-hmm. we go into a place and they're like, this is the way we act in here. And then when we get home behind closed doors, we're going to treat each other like dirt, mm-hmm. or we're going to do whatever we want. We're going to let our guard down. Right. And I thought, okay, I have missed the mark here with obedience, because obedience is not about that at all. Obedience is about doing what pleases the Lord. That's all.
That's right.
And the Lord is in the car just as much as he's in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So I have missed this. And I started realizing, if I really want my kids to obey, it has to be something that they want to do on their own without sitting in the pews with me, without being with me, like, because I'm not always there. So I figured if that's a secret, they've got to want to do it. And so as I started exploring that, I realized, oh, you know, the only way they're going to want to do it is if they want to please God themselves. They've got to have that personal relationship. I can't give it to them. I can't teach it to them. I can't preach it in them. It's got to be theirs. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a Bible study and that was the first one. And it just teaches how you obey, why you would want to bother, what the blessing is, what God says about obedience. And then we actually go through a short little hymn study of trust and obey in that study. Okay. Because it's such a good hymn, it's such a good story and such good lyrics. And so we kind of throw that in as well. But it's a short, simple study on purpose, because it can be used all the way down to ages 4 and up. And so that's a really, just a really quick tool, like the first place that I usually tell parents to start, because that's the foundation. Once you realize that, okay, I want to obey, and this is how I please the Lord, and thus my parents, then the next step is to work on your relationship with your family, because that's your core group. Those are the people that are most important. Yep. They're your first mission field, and you've got to take care of them. And so then we wrote My Brother's Keeper next. And My Brother's Keeper, of course, is a Bible study all about sibling relationships. And our goal in that study is to, again, help the kids from God's word, see it for themselves and see, oh, this is what God says about me and my sibling and how I'm supposed to treat them and why they were created, why they're important, and you know, all of those things. There's conflict resolution in there as well, but it really focuses on what God says in the Bible about how to treat your siblings and actually all people, but real good for that too. So we started there. So we went there next. And then from there, we started, you know, just looking for other things that my kids needed help with. So it was kind of a, I would write a Bible study for my kids, and then I would just produce it so that other people could use it. So the next place that we went was contentment, which often is the issue that you have when you have a sibling issue. You have kids who aren't content. They're not happy with what they have. They're not happy with who they are or what they look like. They're not happy with their talents. And so then they're jealous and they have issues. And I mean, that's from the very first sibling story in the Bible. That was the exact issue. And so we work on contentment. That's our third study, is a content heart. And then from there, we work on our mouth, because you need to be working on your mouth and all the things that you say. And, you know, when we were kids, the big saying was, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words, you know, may never hurt me. And in the study, we dissect that and we learn, guess what? Words are so much worse.
Oh, sure.
Because man, if somebody punches you in the arm, it goes away. But those words, they never go away. Yep. They're always there. And they have, you know, the Bible says the power of life and death. And it's so important that our kids understand all the things that you say. First of all, you're going to be held accountable for, mm-hmm. but all of them matter. They all matter. All the silly words, all the rude words, all the kind words. You can give life to someone with your words, or you can take life away. It's up to you. Next up is do right. And in that study, we take obedience to the next step. Because I realized, you know, it's just not enough to know to want to obey and to know that you need to obey. There's that practical step of what do you do in the moments of temptation? What do you do when you're presented with all of the things in life that we want to do that we shouldn't do? And so that's really where that study goes. And of course, we study Ephesians 6 through that and the armor of God. That's right. And just really go through and talk about what tools has God given us to make those wise choices that we need to be making, and to be, you know, I don't think perfect self-control is really in any of our reaches. we're not going to have it here on earth. That's something we get to look forward to in heaven, but we can be working towards that. We can most certainly be making choices and steps and things that will help us to obey and to want to obey through, you know, the making those wise choices. And then the one that I mentioned at the beginning is developing a quiet time. So even in my own family and my own kids, the practical part of, okay, mom, we're doing these Bible studies, but how do we do like our own Bible study? Like, how do we spend time with the Lord, and what does that look like? I realized, you know, nobody ever taught me that either. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually know that, you know, I can follow a Bible study if someone else tells me what to do, but then what do I need to do if it's just me? And so that's what that Bible study is all about. It's longer than the others. It's meant to span the whole month and teach the kids a formula called GROWS, GROWS, for spending time in God's word. Now, the formula, of course, is not, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says these are the things you must do in order to spend time in God's word. But we teach the kids that these are some ways that you can do that. And we give them the tools for doing that and walk them through that. It's a really cool study. It's one of my favorites, but it's not applicable until at least age 8, because I recommend that you wait until your kids are good readers and they can actually read the word themselves, because mm-hmm. the goal is not for you to do the Bible study you know, read it to them. The goal is for them to sit by themselves with the Bible and do the study. And of course, you can be a support, and you should be a support, and talk to them about what they're learning and stuff. But if they can't get in there on their own, they're probably not quite ready to develop their own quiet time anyway.
Right.
So that's just a couple. We have a couple more, but that's our quick rundown of some of those great Bible studies.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you start with the obedience. You know, we tell our girls all the time, obedience brings blessings, but sin causes pain. And that comes in the form of obeying us, you know, their parents. It comes in the form of obeying God when he says to love your brothers and sisters. It comes in the form of obeying when he says to, you know, to work your heart, to do your best. You know, as you work unto the Lord. I mean, every aspect of their lives, whether it's school or relationships, it all points back to obeying the word of God, because God has clearly laid out for us in his word what he expects from us. Yes. And so I love that. I love that you have taken it all the way, started at the foundation, and then built all around that foundation, teaching kids how to have a true relationship with the Lord. And I love that you're teaching them how to have a quiet time, because that is something that I think for most adults, it's hard to do. And certainly for most kids. And, you know, with my kids, I don't want it to ever be something that they check off their list. Okay, quiet time, check. I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. I want them to desire the word of God, because God's word gives life. And, you know, as they're getting older, we're starting to see more and more of that. But you have to actually teach kids how to do that. You can't just expect them to mm-hmm. know how to do it on their own. And so
And also show them in God's word why yes. they would even want to. That's just, to me, one of the biggest things. God actually says why we should spend time with him.
Yeah.
But usually we don't know that. And so then if we don't know, how would we even want to?
Like right.
We don't naturally say, hey, I want to get up extra early today.
Right.
Like, we just don't.
Right. And he wants to spend time with us. You know, as a parent, we were just talking about this the other day, my husband and I, we were talking about this with our girls and saying that it's difficult to understand until you have kids the depth of God's love for us as his children. Because before you have kids, you love people, you know, you love your spouse, you love your parents, you love your friends, you love your siblings, but it's a different kind of love that you have for your kids, that it's that deep, almost painful love. And we so desperately want to have a good relationship with our children. And that's nothing compared to the relationship that the Lord desires to have with us. And he gives us the opportunity to have that relationship with him. And that's one of the things that's just, you know, I so desperately want my kids to have a good relationship with the Lord, because it's so beautiful. It gives life. And so I love that. I love that you offer all of those different things. Okay, we have a few minutes left. So really quickly, because I want to go a little bit longer with this for Backstage Pass members and get a little bit more in depth of some of the other things that you offer. But really quickly, I want to talk about your book. You have a book called Single Mom Homeschooling, Real Hope for the Seemingly Impossible. Give us a brief overview of that book and how that might encourage some single moms. I told you, you know, before we started recording that I have two friends who in the last year and a half or so, they've both lost their husbands unexpectedly. They're both homeschool moms, and all of a sudden they're without their spouse. And so that can come in the form of, you know, an unexpected death. It could come in the form of divorce. There are ways that can happen. How would you encourage that single mom?
Yeah. So the book is actually written really with the single mom in mind, the mom who has no spouse whatsoever. We'll kind of talk about both of those sides, because both it does, some of the stuff I'm going to say is going to apply to everyone, and then some of the book is just not. So if you're a mom who's like, you know, your husband is deployed or travels a lot or whatever, some of the things that I'm going to say in a minute will apply to you, but that book is probably not the best fit for you.
Okay.
It really is designed to give hope in a situation where everyone says, put your kids in school, mm-hmm. which is one of the hardest parts of being in that situation. And that, even moms who are widows experience that, where, you know, families are like, you've got to put your kids in school. What else are you going to do? How are you going to do all of this? And I always say, well, you're not going to do all of that. So you don't worry about it.
That's right.
You still have a husband. Your husband is the Lord, and he will provide for you. He'll provide the time and the energy. And I do not have boundless energy, and I wear no cape. And people always say that I do. And it's not true. I don't have a cape. It's not hiding in the closet. I am as weak as you are. And I cannot do any of this on my own. It's only in his power that I'm able to, you know, work and run a business while I'm homeschooling and all of the things that are needed in order to not put your kids in school, basically, and keep going with the homeschooling journey. So that would be my biggest encouragement, is to just remember, you don't have to try to do this yourself. Mm-hmm. That is something that God is going to give you. He is the only one who can do that. You can't. And then, you know, the book takes it from there, and then we'll go into very practical things like, you know, even just meal planning and making the school schedule work. I'm a huge fan of independent learning. I think most families should be using independent learning, but if you are the only one and you have no support, you have no one helping with the dishes, you have none of that for whatever reason it may be, you're going to have to make sure that your kids are independently learning, because you can't possibly fit all of that into the day.
Right.
And of course, it depends on how many kids you have exactly. But I knew my kids were only going to continue to get older. And in those early years, by the way, when you don't have to do as much school, that's a good time to be teaching things like, this is how you do the laundry, and this is how you do the dishes. Because you can't be teaching that stuff when they're 15, because now they've got so much more school. So it's going to be school, and I can get some chores done, or school, and I'm either going to learn my chore, and maybe eventually, you know, I'll get, you know, let's give them those skills. The younger they are, the better, you know?
Right.
So I would definitely encourage you to do that. So we talk about things like that in the book. And then we do talk about work options and ways to bring in income. I would again stress, trust God. He is so good, and he is so faithful, that he is going to provide whatever it is. And I wish we had like 4 hours to sit here and talk, because I could tell stories of how God provided for us, especially in those early years. But even just this week with our dishwasher that broke, and a man from our church that was able to help with something that needed to happen in order for the dishwasher to be replaced. You know, I mean, he's just always providing those people and those funds, and you know, the $50 that gets put in my purse at church, and I have no idea where it came from. You know, like, it's a little scary to think that people can access your purse and you don't even notice. But it happened so many times that those kinds of things. So he provides, trust him to provide, and lean on him for the energy, the emotional support that you need, but all of the things that you need in order to make that journey happen. That's really the gist of the book.
Yeah, I love that. We are out of time. So we will, in the extended version, we will talk a little bit more about maybe those moms who, like you said, whose you know, husbands are just busy or deployed, or, you know, whatever the situation might be. But where can people find you and your amazing resources?
Notconsumed.com is our website. We'd love for you to come there and check it out.
Yes, we will definitely do that. And then you're just, so people are kind of preparing, because I know things are starting to get crazy with conventions. We've got conventions coming up in just a couple of months. So where will you be? I mean, I don't need dates and stuff, but are you going to be at Teach Them Diligently again this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be at all of the Teach Them Diligently's except for Denver this year.
Okay.
So sad to miss Denver, but we'll be in all the other locations this year. And then one more convention that I'm not at liberty yet to say.
So, okay. Okay. So do you keep a list on your website of where you're going to be? Okay.
I do keep an updated list. I'm actually not sure if it's updated at this moment, but it will be by the time this airs, for sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully people will be able to find you and talk to you at conventions, because you are very popular. And I know you've got some really popular workshops and things. So, we Teach Them Diligently is near and dear to our hearts. We love that convention. And so I'm excited that you're going to be there with David and Leslie Nunnery. That's a great one.
I do hope you will find me, because that is my favorite part. I love talking to families about pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Yes. It's just a blessing.
Well, so, God has certainly, He has gifted you in the way of being able to encourage parents and on this journey of homeschooling and parenting. So thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the work that you've put into this and for allowing the Lord to use you with this special ministry. So if you are a Backstage Pass member, stick with us. You can watch the video and then listen to some of the bonus content that we have. We're going to talk some more about Kim's resources that she has because she's got a whole lot more, and there are some really neat things there that you're going to want to hear about. And in the meantime, if you don't know about the Backstage Pass membership, go on our website, schoolhouserocked.com. You'll see the button there for Backstage Pass members. And what that is as we've been filming for Schoolhouse Rocked, the movie, we have a ton of content up there. We've got actual, you know, backstage footage of us filming. We have full interviews from a bunch of the cast members that we've done, and we're constantly adding things to that website. And when you become a Backstage Pass member, that actually helps to really support the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked and all that we have going on here. And it helps to support the movie itself, which we are in post-production on right now. So we really appreciate your support that way. And if you are being led by the Lord to help support Schoolhouse Rocked financially, again, go to the website, schoolhouserocked.com, and you'll see a big button on the front. It says, I think it says support Schoolhouse Rocked. And we would love for you to partner with us in that way. And through prayer, we need lots of prayer as we continue to move forward and get this movie done and out and into people's hands so that we can encourage families to homeschool. So thank you for being with us today. Kim, thank you for your time today. We will stick around and have a fun conversation with our Backstage Pass members. And until next week, have a great day.